Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For 3 years, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law were forced to put up with the shenanigans of Jesus. 3 long years of watching him break the Sabbath laws, woo the crowds, and perform what they professed to be demonic trickery. From the moment that he stepped onto the scene, he had been a thorn in their side, one that they couldn't quite figure out how to get rid of. They tried on many occasions to trap him in his words, but somehow he always managed to escape and elude their traps. It had been their mission for quite some time, once and for all, to silence Jesus, regardless of what that might entail. And with the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem for the Passover celebration, it looked like their mission might finally be nearing its completion. Except that they could never quite find or manage to find Jesus alone. He was always surrounded by his supporters, whether that be the disciples or the pilgrims who had come there for the feast. So how in the world were they to arrest him without causing a scene? Enter Judas Iscariot, who provided the Jewish leaders with both the means and the opportunity to get their hands on Jesus, and all for only 30 pieces of silver. A bargain, to be sure. And thus, led by Judas, they arrested Jesus. They tried and mocked and beat him. Finally, they turned him over to Pontius Pilate to be sentenced to death, even the death of a cross. All of which brings us to the events of today. As Jesus is forced to carry his own cross on the way to the place of his crucifixion, though he did receive some help when he became too weak to carry it, and as if death by crucifixion wasn't bad enough, he was harassed and humiliated every step of the way, until finally he reached the place of the skull, Golgotha, where he was nailed to a cross, he was lifted into place, and then he was left to die. And die he did. Slowly, painfully, horrifically. But Jesus, before he died, cried out, "It is finished." He then committed his spirit into the hands of his heavenly Father. He bowed his head. He breathed his last. And he died. Mission accomplished. Finally. That's what all of the Jewish leaders must have all been thinking. After 3 years of plotting and planning and following and scheming and the like, Jesus was finally dead. Silenced at last. Like I said before, in their minds, it must have been mission accomplished. And indeed, the mission had been accomplished. Just not their mission. For in 3 days, Jesus would be back alive. And if they thought that Jesus had caused them problems before, that was nothing compared with what the disciples would begin to do, inspired by his resurrection from the dead. They thought that they had silenced Jesus, But nothing could have been further from the truth. For the death of Jesus was not the completion of their mission, but of his mission. And as such, it did not serve to silence him and his followers, but rather it became the catalyst, coupled with his resurrection, to spread his message of God's grace to the entire world. Jesus himself had said that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And thus it was through his death that his message began to be proclaimed louder than ever before. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to offer himself as a sacrifice to pay the debt of our sin. The mission of his entire life was to die in our stead, that we would be forgiven of all of our sin. It's easy for some to look at the death of Jesus as the natural consequence of his rebellion. You know, when you don't play by other folks' rules, you're going to make enemies. And depending upon the gravity of the situation, those enemies can be many and they can be severe. And they were in the case of Jesus. He was dismissing and changing the laws and the rules and the understandings that lay at the foundation of their Jewish beliefs and lives. He broke the Sabbath. Worse than that, he blasphemed God in their eyes. History looks at Jesus as a man who tried to change the religious and the social mores of the day, and who was thus rejected and despised by the establishment, and he paid for that, for his sedition, with his life. But history is wrong to account for the Jesus' death in merely logical cause and effect, natural consequence of one's actions terms. Because the truth that lay behind the cause of Jesus' death cannot be gained simply by observing history, but can only be learned by an understanding of God gained through his word. You see, from the moment that Adam and Eve fell into sin, and thereby sentencing the whole of mankind to death, God put a plan into place to save us. And that plan had at its centerpiece the suffering and the death of his son. For it was in his death that he would take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows. And it was through his punishment that we would be brought peace. And finally, it was by his wounds that we have been healed. And thus, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it was his mission that had been accomplished. The mission that had been planned by God for thousands of years. He paid the price for our sin. Our forgiveness had been achieved, and our reconciliation with God was now complete. There was now nothing more for him to do but to hang his head and to die. Jesus came for us. He suffered. He died. And finally, he rose for us. May we always see behind the horrible death of Jesus the intentional and incredible love of God. To him be all the glory, for the sake of Christ his Son. Amen.